Welcome to DNB College. Today we're building something proper, a low-end pressure line in Ableton Live 12 with a drifting jungle pad riding over the top. This is that sweet zone between old-school jungle atmosphere and timeless roller momentum. Not just a big bass sound, but a bass system that moves like one organism. Sub, mid, and texture all working together, so the groove feels alive without losing that clean, club-ready low-end discipline. And that's the whole point here. We want weight, motion, and atmosphere, but we do not want the bottom end falling apart the moment the drums hit. That's the difference between a loop that sounds cool and solo and a bassline that actually carries a tune. So start with the phrase, not the sound. Before you open any fancy synth settings, write a 4-bar MIDI idea. Keep it simple. Put the root note on bar 1 and bar 3 for that classic roller anchor. Add a short anticipation note before bar 2 or bar 4 if you want a bit of push. Leave at least one deliberate rest somewhere in the phrase. Let the drums breathe. If you're aiming for that old-school jungle feel, think in small movements. One root, one fifth, maybe one octave variation. That's enough if the rhythm is right. If you can't hum the bass line after one listen, it's probably too busy. What to listen for here is the relationship with the kick. The kick should still feel like it leads, and the bass should answer underneath it. If the bass feels continuous but not rhythmic, the note lengths are probably too long. Tighten that up first. Now build the sub. Keep it pure. Keep it disciplined. A great Ableton starting point is operator with a sign or sign-like patch, then EQ8 for cleanup, and utility to keep it centered. The sub should be boring on purpose. That's not a weakness. That's what lets everything else work. Set a clean envelope. Fast attack. Short to moderate decay if you want it to speak clearly, and enough release that the notes don't smear into each other. If the track is more rolling and open, you can let the release breathe a little. If it's more syncopated and jungle-driven, keep it tighter, and keep the sub mono. Utility at 0% width. No excuses. Why this works in DNB is simple. At high tempos, the low end has to be readable in a crowded mix. You've got kicks, snares, breaks, and all sorts of transient energy fighting for space. A clean mono sub gives you club translation and headroom, so the mids and atmospheres can get character without the whole thing folding up. Next, add the movement layer. This is your restyle mid-bass, but it should never hijack the low end. Use wave-eatable or analog, then auto-filter, saturator, EQ8, and utility. Start with a saw-based or detuned tone, then high-pass it so it leaves the sub lane alone. Depending on the bass and the key, that high-pass might sit somewhere around 90 to 160 Hz. The exact number matters less than the result. You want the pressure, not the mud. Then add a little saturation. Not too much. A few dB of drive is usually enough to introduce bite and harmonic movement. If needed, use soft clip. Think controlled edge, not total destruction. Now automate gently. A small sweep across the 4 bars can make the bass feel like it's rising and breathing with the phrase. You do not need massive movement. In fact, too much motion can turn a roller into a mess. Keep the deepest layer stable and let the character live higher up. What to listen for here is whether the mid layer sounds menacing when soloed, but still feels like it sits behind the drums in context. If the kick starts losing its front edge, carve some of the low mids, usually around 180 to 350 Hz. That area is often where the bass gets cloudy. Now for the jungle pad drift layer. This is where the atmosphere lives, but it should behave like texture, not like a lush chord pad stealing the show. You can use simpler with a short texture sample or wave-eatable or analog. Something slightly worn, noisy, or detuned works really well here. Then shape it with auto filter, chorus ensemble, reverb, and EQ8. High pass it aggressively. Often somewhere above 180 to 350 Hz is a good start. This layer should feel like fog moving through the track, not a synth wash sitting on top of it. Let it drift. Let it swell. Automate the filter, or shift the sample start, or move the amplitude slightly over the phrase. Just one or two subtle changes can make the whole loop feel alive. You've got two good directions here. If you want dark and compressed, keep the decay shorter and the motion tighter. If you want haunted and open, let the tail bloom a little more and widen it up. Both work. It just depends on whether you want warehouse pressure or misty jungle space. And this is a big advance tip. Keep the sub nearly static, let the reese breathe, and let the pad drift. That separation creates an illusion of huge movement without turning the mix into fog. Now go back to the MIDI and make the layers breathe together. This is where note length becomes a weapon. In DNB, a shorter bass note can actually hit harder than a long one, because it leaves room for the kick and the break to speak. A lot of people miss that. They think bigger means longer. Not here. Here, space is part of the groove. Try a 4-bar structure, where bar 1 lands the root, bar 2 adds a passing movement, bar 3 returns to the root a little longer, and bar 4 either rests or sets up the next phrase. If the pad is active, let it swell into the gaps instead of filling every beat. That's where the drift comes from. The bass pushes forward, and the texture trails behind it. What to listen for now is thickness versus clarity. If it sounds fat but flat, the issue is often overlapping notes. Clean up the MIDI before you reach for more processing. Once the phrase works, bring in automation carefully. Move the mid-layer filter, or the saturation amount, or the wave-eatable position just enough to create evolution across 4 or 8 bars. Leave the sub alone as much as possible. The ear should hear change, but the club system should still receive a stable anchor. A nice jungle move is to close the filter slightly near the end of every second bar, then open it again into the next phrase. That gives you that breathing tension and release feeling without sounding cheesy. It's subtle, but it works. Now check everything against the drums, not in solo. In context, bring the kick, snare, and break back in and listen carefully. Does the bass leave space for the kick's initial hit? Does the snare still crack through the center of the phrase? Is the break's ghost note swing still readable, or is the bass masking it? If the kick and bass clash, shorten the note or carve a small pocket in the bass around the kick's fundamental zone. If the snare feels buried, back off some density in the low mids. If the break loses swing, the bass is probably too rigid. Shift a few notes slightly, or shorten the offbeats, so the drums regain their authority. That's a key lesson here. The bass line should support the break, not bully it. And if you want it more old school and a little more human, don't be afraid of subtle timing imperfections in the mid or texture layers. Not the sub. Keep the sub disciplined. But the movement layers can feel slightly alive, almost like they were played through a worn chain. That kind of imperfection reads as character. At this point, if the loop is doing something you like, print it to audio. Resample the layered bass and capture it. This is one of the smartest moves you can make. Audio gives you faster arrangement decisions, easier editing, and the ability to chop out dead space or shape the tail exactly how you want it. If the modulation was creating a sweet little moment in the phrase, print it before you lose it, and name your takes clearly. Clean sub print, aggressive mid print, open drift print. That keeps your second drop decisions fast and sane. Now think arrangement. Don't just paste a 4-bar loop across the whole track. Use the bass system like a narrative. For the intro, strip it back. Maybe just filter drift and hints of the motif. Then for the first drop, bring in the full sub, mid-pressure, and restrained pad movement. In the turnaround, remove a sub for a bar or two, or filter it hard. Then in the second drop, return with a variation. Maybe an extra octave, a sharper edge, or a more open pad tail. That way the track feels like it's evolving, not just repeating. A strong second drop often isn't bigger. It's more decisive, tighter, darker, more exposed. Sometimes less is the upgrade. Now a couple of common mistakes to avoid. Do not let the pad own the low mids. If it clouds the snare or blurs the bass, high pass it harder and reduce the reverb tail. Do not make the sub wide. Keep it mono. Do not over-detune the reese. That's how the bass turns into a wash and stops locking with the kick. And do not throw heavy saturation on before the note shape is right. If the phrase isn't working, distortion won't save it. Also, always check the bass against the snare. The snare is the backbeat commander in this style. If the bass makes the snare disappear, the groove loses its identity. A few extra pro moves will help you push this further. You can try a ghost note pickup before the snare on every second bar. Keep it short and quiet. It adds forward pull without getting in the way. You can automate the pad to close slightly before the snare, then open on the hit. That gives the backbeat more contrast. You can even resample a 4-bar take, then chop one tail and one re-entry to create a stronger variation for the second drop. And here's the big mindset shift. This is an arrangement problem first, and a sound design problem second. If the MIDI doesn't create tension and release against the break, no amount of filtering or saturation is going to make it feel pro. The phrase has to earn the sound. So here's the clean recap. Keep the sub stable and mono. Let the mid layer bring motion. Let the pad drift around the phrase. Use note length like part of the groove. Leave space for the kick and snare. Print the good idea to audio when it starts feeling real. And always check the whole thing in context, because this style lives and dies by how the bass talks to the drums. If it sounds like weight, fog, and momentum locked together, you're in the zone. Now take the 15-minute practice challenge. Build that 4-bar low-end pressure loop with a drifting pad layer, using only stock Ableton devices, no more than 3 bass notes, exactly 1 automation move on the mid layer and 1 on the pad layer, and at least 1 rest. Keep the sub mono, keep it honest. Then listen in mono and ask yourself, does the kick still punch, does the snare still cut, does the bass move forward without sounding dizzy, and does the track still work if you mute the pad? If the answer is yes, you've got something usable. If not, simplify first. That's how you win this style. Now go build it.